Welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have C. Dale and Mark T.T.H. from the Fallen Hour Radio and the Fallen Hour Radio podcast on the show tonight. The show got off to a rocky start, but we fell into the groove after the first 5 minutes, and they have some really great stories to share with us. And we will be right back with C. Dale and Marcus T.T.H. from the Fallen Hour Radio podcast.
What is it about the unknown that fascinates us so much? Is it for the thrill of it all? Or do we seek proof of life after death? Whatever our reason may be, we find ourselves being drawn in by these places and the bone-chilling tales that they have to offer. Tortured souls cross boundaries to reach out with stories that they want to share with us. There are times we simply hear the echoes of a memory on loop. The question that remains is this: are you open-minded enough to handle it? Dive into the paranormal with DC O'Rourke, your personal guide, as we traverse the globe to dissect haunted places in each and every episode of Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal, where the spirits are always waiting.
You are now listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
Today I have C. Dale and Marcus from the Fallen Hour Radio podcast. Wow, we got through that.
There you go.
It's been a wild evening so far. Okay.
No one's done that bad to my name yet.
Well, welcome, guys. I mean, did some research on you today, and I really dig your videos and everything. Man, it looks like you put a lot of work into what you do.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Well, thank you.
And thanks. I know it does, because I know I did that stuff with videos and production and now podcasting.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, tell me a little bit about your podcast.
So, I mean, when we first, I'll start from the beginning.
Like the birth Fallen Hour.
Right. You want to hear the story how Fallen Hour came to be and how we transitioned?
Yeah.
Actually, about 6 years ago, me and my wife started Fallen Hour, and we were trying to get into like the entrepreneurship, and we said, hey, we can probably start this up and make some money doing art and things like that. And before she even woke up in the morning, I already had the name all set up. I had the Facebook page, and she got up, she's like, Fallen Hour, what the heck is that? And I was like, it's a cool name. And so we did that for about a year or two and did pretty well selling art pieces. And we had art pieces up in Billings at a tattoo studio, and that was kind of the end of it. And then we left the page dead for about a year or so.
I think it was about a year, yeah.
Right. And then I was like, man, we got to do something with all these followers. And so I wrote Marcus, said, we got to do a podcast. And I did my first podcast, and I kind of went on this train of...
You did like, I think three episodes, was it? Two or three episodes?
And it was the Titanic conspiracy theory. And we started there, and I said, Mark, you got to get over here and... We only had one mic at the time, too. So
kind of like this right now.
Well, deja vu, huh?
Yeah. And so Mark comes over, and the whole time he's just dead silent and just like, yeah, agreeing with me and everything I say and all the
nodding
points.
My head for the video, but not the audio.
And then we were like, we can take this somewhere and just keep going with it. And then we kept doing podcasts, more podcasts, and then getting into video elements of it, research, looking into audio equipment, and then a couple of years later, here we are.
Yeah.
What do you mainly focus on your podcast? Paranormal?
Yeah, we actually, when we started it, we did, you know, the Titanic conspiracy, and he asked me, you know, what do you want to do? What kind of subjects do you want to talk about? And I just told him, well, let's just do something creepy, you know? Like, that's the kind of stuff I always loved growing up. And so we did an episode, and after that, it just got like a really good, you know, it was really good with well accepted, I guess is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And after that, we just kind of stuck with it, you know, just doing like paranormal, you know, folklore, urban legends and stuff like that. And, we kind of started trying to get into, Native American folklore and their legends and their stories, because we're Native American. And so we were kind of half tempted to go into that, because right. a lot of it you're not supposed to talk about, or, you know, certain mm-hmm. details, and it's a lot of it's like kept secret. And so we kind of debated on that for a while and thought, you know, let's just talk about it and see what happens. And we were expecting, you know, some backlash from the Native American community, but they just loved it. Like a lot right. of them really loved it. They came out to us and asking us to do more, do these stories, do those stories, and they just, all these stories just kind of started flooding in.
But there so was occasional
yeah there was occasional.
We got occasional. Some backlash from a few people.
Yeah. Well, you're always going to get backlash about yeah. it, you know, but is it because of the culture that
yeah,
you get backlash on, or certain right. things you don't want you talking about?
There's certain subjects we talk about, and I don't know if you can see that in the back, but we have Deer Woman mm-hmm. back there, and mm-hmm. that's a huge Native American urban legend.
The artist actually got basically cursed out in a Native American language for painting that.
Right.
I heard at an art show. So
I saw this painting, and I don't even know if I really knew what Deer Woman was yet. And I saw this painting, and it wasn't finished yet. And I said, what's the story behind that painting? His name's Zach Faraway from Faraway Fine Art. And he was like, man, this one, it's totally out of the ordinary from his art pieces, because he's got what's like more like a Western style, yeah. Native American style art yep. artwork. And then in the middle there somewhere sits this piece, and it's like dark and black, and there's not too many colors in it. And I asked him about it, and he said, that's Deer Woman. And I said, I'll tell you a story. I said, I took this down to an art show on a reservation, and an elder came up to me, and she starts just giving it to him in her language, and he can't understand her, but he catches the name of Deer Woman in their language. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that story, I was like, I want that painting. And then we kind of trailed into doing the podcast, and then we had a lot of people were accepting of it, and then people saying, you can't talk about Deer Woman if the ground's not frozen, or wrong yeah. time of year, and
yeah, certain times of year.
We were totally off yeah. season for Deer Woman, but we went with it anyways.
Yeah, seeing some of your background, like you said, you grew up on a reservation. Mm-hmm. Did you understand the language, or do you speak the language?
I understand some of it, like when you know, my dad's talking to someone, he speaks, you know, fluent Crow.
That was his first language.
Like, we're Crow on my father's side, mm-hmm. and he speaks fluent Crow, and he'll be having a conversation with somebody, and it's weird because like I can't speak it, but I know what he's talking about. You know, I'll be right. able to kind of sit in there and maybe jump in and say something, but I'll talk in English, and you know, they're like, kind of like, oh yeah, and keep talking. And so I can understand some of it, but I can't speak it. So.
Right.
Just like my wife, you know, she's Italian, her mom and dad both born in Italy, and they mm-hmm. both spoke fluent Italian, and she speaks very little, but she can understand the same thing. She can understand, like when she went to Italy, she can understand some of her relatives talking what they're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but that's to come out and just talk, you know, speak it down. She's not very good at that, but hope she'll hear this podcast. But
my daughter actually speaks more Crow than I do. Right, so yeah. Hearing her kind of talk, like, what did you call me?
I had an episode a while back, I think a year or so ago, called Jimmy and Indian Johnny. I don't know if you listened to that one. The story that was brought to me by the gentleman out of Philadelphia, you know, where he was going to commit suicide. And instead of him driving to, I don't know why, he didn't drive to the Atlantic Ocean. He drove cross country to the Pacific.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
To commit suicide. He's driving there to drive himself into the ocean.
Wow.
But on the way, something came to him and took him to this reservation, Indian mm-hmm. reservation. And it's a true story. And what it touched me was because when he talked about this old Indian on the porch of this trinket shop, you know, it was the same thing that happened to me as a child. We got lost and ended up this little Indian trinket shop. There was a old Indian on the front porch whittling something, and he was taking his coffee and taking a spoon out and just letting mm-hmm. coffee dripped back down into the cup. And I was probably about 7 years old. And I says, well, what are you doing? You know, he goes, and he looks at me and says, I'm getting the evil spirits out of the coffee. I says, oh, really? And he goes, yeah. He says, every living thing has its own spirit. Well, years later, I got this story, Indian Johnny, and sure enough, in that story was exactly what happened to me when I was 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Oh, weird.
I love your podcast because, you know, there's not very Native American Indian podcast out there.
Right.
That I see anyway. But yeah, I was really touched by, first of all, you're Native American, you know, and you're my first Native American guest on.
Oh, wow. Cool. Oh, awesome.
So I'm thrilled about that. Well, I listened to some of your podcasts. I like the one you had the guest on. It was a sculptor, and he was, you had that head.
Yeah.
I think it was Eric. I think Eric was staring at you. You had that head. Yeah. Was you doing something with the head? I don't know.
He kind of started it, you know, and he started the whole head. And he pretty much had just the whole head done, and I just started adding to it and just cutting things off here and playing.
Chop the ear off.
It felt kind of bad because that, like, to me, that looked like a masterpiece. So I was like, I didn't want to touch it, but he's, you know, oh, I make a million of them now. So I was like, all right, let's start cutting ears off, doing this and that.
I don't know what C. Dale was doing.
I was trying to do something. I don't know. I was trying to do an owl with horns. Like a ghost looking thing.
You should go with C Dash Dale. That's kind of like a rap. It's like a rap name, you know.
Name, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I like the fact too, where he was telling the story too, paranormal story as he's sculpturing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and that was his idea. It was Tyrell Johnson, and we met him at an art show. And he was like our last interview that night.
Yeah.
And he waited for us, and we finally got to him and we did the interview, and he was like, man, if you were to come over and do a video for me of we still got to do this concept, but it was almost the same along the same lines, but he wants to sculpt something and take us on like a little journey of like talking with us and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then he's going to circle that back around somehow to the actual piece he's doing.
Yeah.
Or try to figure out what he's doing with the piece as we're talking, and like inspiration would be kind of cool.
And I love the way you videotaped that too, going from black and white to color.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was kind of like a last minute thing. We had some trouble with our video. So
I thought it was planned, man, because it looked great.
Yeah, he was like, for some reason, I can't get the color right. I was like, just throw it black and white. It'll be fine. Yeah. He put it on there and it actually popped pretty cool. So I was like, well, it looks pretty good. But the camera we had on Tyrell Johnson himself, that's the one we just kept in color, and it actually came out pretty cool. So
what was like growing up on the reservation?
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I don't know.
Well, I was born there, and I pretty much left the reservation when I was 18, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of moved around for a while. You know, I moved to Butte, Montana. I moved to California. I kind of moved around, but I came back here and just moved to the next town over, you know, which is Hardin, Montana. And it's pretty close, you know, it's still pretty close to Crow, but
12 miles.
Yeah. But 12 miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 12 miles away. Kind of came back home, you know, and just settled down here. But it was interesting, you know, growing up on a reservation. It's just filled with culture, you know, the Native American culture. It's especially around like now we have it's called the Crow Fair, and it's like one of the biggest powwows there is
in the world.
Like, we actually have, you know, movie stars and stuff that come down and they actually go there, like Tommy Lee Jones, Steven Seagal, like people like that, Michael J. Fox, like, will come down and just, you know, watch the dancers and the powwow and everything. And it's actually really cool, you know, really cool thing to see. And
it's a very different place, though.
Like, yeah, if you
go there, I mean, there's kids at like 8 years old driving a car to the store, like, for their grandma.
Yeah, that's how it is. They don't have licenses. Like, no rules. All the rules go out the window.
Kids ride their horses around all the time, all day long. There's horses everywhere down there. People riding horses all day long.
Yeah, take a horse through the drive-thru. Yeah,
there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens.
What's it called? It's called like TP City or something like that?
The TP capital of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for responding and coming on the show.
Oh, man, we're happy to do it.
And I seen your dad was on the show too. I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
His name's Al.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They call him Champ.
Yeah. Now, Marcus, you look like your dad.
I hear that a lot. He does. Yeah, everywhere I go, they say it's like looking in a time machine, you know, just how he looked when he was younger, I guess, but more muscle.
He saw his story. Was that on the reservation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The same place we grew up is where he grew up.
So. That was wild. Yeah. And so Dale, you must be like your mother.
Everyone always says that to me. Yes, I am. I do look a lot like my mom.
Mark, what does the TTH mean after your name?
That is actually the initials to my real last name.
Yeah,
my last name is Takes the Horse.
Takes the Horse?
Yeah.
Okay, because your dad was the same way. TTH. Yeah. I've seen that. So I was like, I got to ask what that TTH was.
The only reason why I changed on social media is because Facebook didn't believe that was my real last name.
Right.
Kicking me off of Facebook. I was like, what the hell is going on? And they wanted proof of my ID. So I showed them proof of my ID. And they still don't believe me. So it literally changed my name. Facebook changed my name to Enoch. I was like, how did you know I was Enoch?
Yeah,
so that's like my mom's maiden name. And it changed it to Enoch, which that was kind of strange.
Sometimes you think, well, they know more about you than what you know.
Yeah, weirded me out. I was like, that was kind of scary. But
Take the horse. I like that.
The way our name was, Dad always tells us this. It was from a war party or a...
Yeah, it was actually a family. The name that Takes the Horse is actually the short version of the name. It's even longer than that. It's Takes the Horse from the Enemy. And it was a family that was actually trained to be stealthy, and they sneak into the enemy camp and basically steal the horses and try to sway the battle, you know, and like let the horses free and do that kind of stuff. And my dad was like, yeah, so you're thieves, I guess. You're named after thieves. It kind of made me laugh, but everywhere I go.
It's not really like Take the Horse, like maybe it should be STH, stole the horse.
Yeah. But everywhere I go, like out of Montana, let's say I went to Vegas, and everywhere I went, every time I showed my ID, it was a 10-minute conversation.
Right, it always
is. Always is like a 10-minute conversation about my name, and you know, they don't believe it's my real name, and they'll, hey, come over here, look at this guy's ID, you know.
I like the music videos too you had on there. Eunice Enoch, For You Say.
Yeah, that's my mom.
Yeah, that's our mom.
Was that your mom?
Yeah.
Wow, that was really good. I like that one, and I really like Jonah Morissette.
Yeah, that's our cousin.
He's our cousin, actually. I mean,
and she was awesome. It's like, wow, she's good. I mean, they're both good, but I like the videos. I like the way it's done in the house. And
it was pretty fun to shoot that one.
Your podcast kind of like touches on different things, you know. And the other one I was looking at was The Ancient Spirits of Christmas, Saint Nicholas and His Shadow, Krampus.
Yeah, Krampus.
Krampus, yeah.
That was a fun one. Yeah, I mean, I was like, wow. You're either giving gifts for being good, or they're taking them from you for being bad.
Or they actually beat you.
It promotes child abuse, I guess.
I just touched on everything that I'm interested, you know, and keep doing what you're doing, because it's a great podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I think that was one of the more structured one we've done in a while. I mean, we do the podcast, and we never stick to the actual subject line.
I know. We always stray so far off.
Well, I usually sometimes the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
So we do 5 pages of research at least, because that gets us to like at least an hour, because we'll talk for like the first little paragraph and then we'll just trail on for like a half hour, and then we have to keep reading down that list.
Try to jump back. This last episode we did before, well, we didn't release it yet, but people were asking us to do another one with our dad. You know, they loved his stories and stuff. So we brought him back on, and I tried to do something to kind of change that. Like, you know, oh man, we get so off track and we don't get all these stories out. Right. So I thought, well, maybe we'll just mute our mics, you know, and let him talk. CL couldn't handle it. He had to unmute his mic and start talking. And it same thing happened. All our mics turned on, and I got scolded for something, and it's all on camera. So
that was a live stream you did.
Yeah.
I think without even knowing that, I'm looking at your dad and looking at Marcus. I'm thinking, those guys are connected for sure.
Yeah.
I think you'll have a good laugh on this next episode that comes out with them. Yeah. We even had to stop. My mom wanted to come and watch, you know, let me come watch, you know, and I told him that's a bad idea. Don't let her do it. And she could not handle it. So, in the middle of the recording, they're like back and forth, you know. She's correcting him.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That didn't happen, you know.
Proving her wrong, and then she's like, oh yeah, okay. The smallest subject, like the make of a car, the car that he had during the story,
nothing to do with
it. It started like a 10-minute argument. I was like, nope, never again.
Now, has your mom been on the show yet?
No, I want to get around, but she was, I asked her, I said, do you have any ghost stories or anything like that? And she says, I have one, but it's not mine. And I was like, I was going to ask her the last time she was here with my dad. I remember growing up in Crow, and at the time I lived in a trailer down by Uncle Ben's house down there.
Yeah.
And I would go crawl on the bed with her because I'd be creeped out. And me and my sister would do that when we were little. And I remember one night in particular, my dad is at work and the lights are off. And then the closet just starts shaking like violently and like this like really hard push on the door. You can hear, see the door coming in and out. And we start freaking out. And I just remember my mom getting up and telling it to stop. And she was yelling back at it. And she was started to tell it to stop. And then it did stop. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to like calm down and go to bed. And I asked her, I think I was maybe like 16 or so, asked her about that. And she said she doesn't remember that. So wow. I don't know if she actually remembers that or if she's, I don't know. It's so weird. It's like, that's like one of the most memorable, I guess, memories I had of that house being creepy.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot since doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because you get, like you say, non-believers right. out the wazoo, you know, like, that's crazy. You know, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think it was Marcus that you had on there, your story of the night on sacred grounds.
Yeah, that was like literally one of the crazy experiences I've had. And I never really talked about it, you know, to anybody, you know, just with family and a few friends. We were talking about doing, you know, ghost stories and stuff like that. I was like, well, why don't we do like, you know, interview people, you know, local people. We'll start there. And we'll interview them and have them tell their story. And he was kind of asking me, like, kind of like spitballing how he wanted to do this. And I told him, well, let's just test this out. You know, we'll just interview me. You know, we'll do something like that. We'll start there. And that's where that episode came from. But it was, yeah, that was actually a very crazy experience to some friends that are pretty traditional. And they even told me that sounds like, you know, that sounds like witchcraft. It sounds like a medicine, like a bad medicine man doing something to you guys, you know? So I was like, well,
that happened on where Crow Fair currently, well, they have that there every year.
Yeah. That whole story happened where Crow Fair takes place. We were driving through those fairgrounds and that's what happened, you know, that night.
It was the teepee was on fire.
Yeah.
Like, and you went back and it was gone.
Yeah. Like we were just, you know, driving around at night. You know, my brother had a motorcycle. I had a motorcycle and we were driving around with two friends and we separated, you know, sometime during the night, and this is around midnight, and we went driving through there. You know, there's no lights in there at all. All you can see is what your headlights see. And I remember we were coming around. It's like a labyrinth of just loops and circles.
And
you know?
Tons of trees.
Yeah, and tons of trees surrounding this place. And
structures. Like
little. Yeah. Like you could just see like the sticks and structures of their camps, you know, still laid out. Like they stay out there like all year. They're just stripped down to just the poles. And we were coming around a corner and I remember seeing something glowing. And I can't remember if she asked me or I asked her, but we both noticed it. And so we went around this bend to go see what it was. And it was literally a teepee on fire in the middle of this little field, a full size teepee. And this thing was just going up and she got creeped out. I got creeped out. So she made me just turn around and leave. And we waited by the park, you know, for my brother to come by because it's a small place, you know, you're going to see him drive by sometime. And he came pulling up. And they both had this look on their face like they just saw something. So I thought they saw what we saw. And we were all talking at the same time, you know, trying to like get our story out. And what happened was he went through that place too, the fairgrounds. Except he went through a different path. And he said that when they were coming through this path, there's a little clearing surrounded by trees. And he saw a Native American dressed in Native American regalia. And he said he was, you know, just described how he looked. And he said he kind of crept up on him, but like kind of coming quick. And he had a bow and an arrow. And he said he drew his bow at him like he was going to fire at him. And the girl he was with told him to, you know, to get out of there. And so he started gunning it, and he said he can hear him like whooping and everything in the background.
Scary.
And hearing that in the middle of the night in that place yeah. would scare the hell out of me.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Yeah.
So I can understand like why he was so creeped out. And he came to, he told us the story. We told him our story, and we ended up driving through there, you know, later that night. But this time we took a car because it felt more safe being inside a car. And that's when we started seeing all these little stands in the entrances, every single entrance of these fairgrounds. And it was like, it almost looked like a little teepee, but the only way I could describe it, it reminded me of the Blair Witch Project, right. You know, these weird things kind of standing up, and a medicine bag hanging from it. That is, you know, like if they want to do something like that too, that's kind of how they go about it. You know, they use like medicine, mm-hmm. a certain kind of medicine. And it was, yeah, my friends that I talked to that are traditional, they said that's witchcraft. That's bad medicine, you know? And he said, that's what happened that night. So it was,
because I do know some paranormal investigators that do use medicine bags to go in for their, like if they're cleansing a house.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's for protection.
Yeah. It depends on what they put in it, I guess, and, mm-hmm. and what it's meant for. Right.
But, you know, you're talking about that where the teepee was it not there anymore or just wasn't burning?
Yeah. We went back through there in the, we took a Camaro, I believe it was, and we drove through there and we took them where we saw this teepee burning. And the grass was totally fine. There was no signs of a fire. There was no teepee. There was no nothing. No smell of a fire. No scent. Absolutely nothing. It just looked like that area was untouched. So that's what kind of really, really got me. You know, like we were seeing me. It wasn't just me. It was the person with me. We were both seeing this thing. To go back there literally minutes later, seeing absolutely nothing in that area, it was just like a wow moment, you know. Basically two timelines clashing. Is that what you're talking about? Is that how
earlier
I kind of worded it in?
Yeah.
Because there was a story about this guy. He was driving. I think he was driving home or something. And he saw a Native American run by on a horse. I think it was on a horse or he was running through the field. Mm. But he pulled a tomahawk out and threw it at his truck.
Wow.
And it got stuck in his grill. And he, you know, he took off, went back home. And he showed them the tomahawk and everything. He told them, you know, some guy threw this at my car. Right, you know?
Dressed up as a
Native American. And it was stuck in his grill, you know. And he was telling them the whole story. And it turns out someone in their family a long time ago said that when he was walking through a field, he saw this big steel beast with two glowing eyes coming at him. And he threw his tomahawk and stuck it in the face of this beast, and it was like these two timelines kind of collided. That guy's story a long time ago and his story were the same story.
Right. I think you satisfied my itch there. Where the heck I was thinking of that.
Now we got that sold. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're kind of talking, like, I thought maybe that's what happened when we were there. Hmm. You know, maybe I saw something that was.
But it's kind of strange. Some,
it's like weird to try to think about, you know,
the medicine bundles at the entrances, and it's almost like someone was setting a trap or protecting the place or something.
Like question, like why is all them little sticks like a teepee tied together? What sticks
right.
at the entrances? Why would that be there? I mean, there's a warning or
and that stuff. I mean, especially Native American, the medicine they use. It's not something to mess with, you know. There was a story of actually in the Crow Fair, the fairgrounds down there. There's a place called the Round Hall.
Yeah.
And they had these men come down and they were taking down the Round Hall. They were demolishing it because they needed, I guess it was too old. And they had what's called hand games there every summer, I guess, or every somewhere around there. They didn't know this building when they're taking it down, but this building had to have been, geez, hundreds of years old.
Yeah, it was pretty old.
And the builders of that structure placed medicine bundles all around the structure. And nobody knew this until
these even guys the people it down. That are in there, you know, playing the game, they were stashing medicine around, you know, the building. They were hiding their medicine bags everywhere, you know. And when they took apart this building, they found, you know, all these medicine bags, and there was a person down there helping deconstruct this building that did not know anything about Native American culture or what it was. And he just grabs this bag, and it was a big bag. I guess it was a big medicine bag, and he was going to open it up. And another worker that was with him tried to yell at him, tell him, you know, leave that alone, you know, don't touch that. And right when he told him that, he opened it up, and the side of his face fell, and he had a stroke the second he opened up that bag, and he was basically put it in the hospital.
Because right, and that was a documented case.
I've heard about that, you know. It's one thing you don't want to mess with is the medicine bags, you know, and especially who put those together, you know. Sometimes you'll have an elder of the community put the medicine bag together. Mm-hmm. I mean, who comes up with the storylines for like say a future episode, or did both of you work together on that?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we usually have an idea. Sometimes we just wing it.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Like, so we both work, and I mean, we usually have like at least once a week free.
Yeah.
And we always pick that day. So we said, okay, we're gonna do that day. And sometimes Marcus doesn't have time to research. I don't have time to research. So we're like, all right, we're both here. Let's just wing this one. And we end up trailing off for like an hour or so. That was a good podcast.
Well, it's like they say, you know, sometimes some of your best vacations are the ones not planned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, Dale, you were at that art gallery. Is that where you got the picture, the painting behind you?
No, I got this a few years back. That one was actually an art show that we got invited to cover, Recover 2021. And that was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. We actually made a lot of really cool friends. A lot of cool people there.
We met Tyrell Johnson there, and we met Troy Evans there, and we met his wife also. We met a few other ones that are going to come on the podcast, and we'll talk to them in the future.
So what's the future? I mean, what's coming up? What do you have planned?
Oh, my gosh. We got this. So, of course, we got to jump into our Halloween series. And so we have this, there's a story in my wife's family, actually, of this dancing table. And we always try to top the last year's Halloween series with something. Like, we did the Moss Mansion in Billings, Montana, historical place. Last year, I don't think we did anything much that would top that. But this year, we've been trying to get this table for about 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
And apparently this table dances. And I don't know how long it's been in the family, but for about 40 years now, the family decided to bind the table with wire so it wouldn't dance. And there were stories of this table moving at parties, and they would dance at parties and smoke cigarettes and levitate and things like that. And the great grandmas have stories about this table.
They use like Ouija boards and stuff on it and do things like that. That's what they use this table for. And now it's basically, this thing is like haunted pretty much.
Yeah, it was made by a great, 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 great some grandfather or something. And he built all his furniture in his house. And there's actually a duplicate table like that they have. And I really want that table.
I know back like the spiritual era, you know, the whole, when that whole thing was booming, I know there was tables made, you know, for those kind of events, you know, those kind of things, seances and stuff like that. They actually had special tables made and they were using this thing, you know, basically the same story, you know, they're using this table to do that kind of stuff on.
Right.
And basically, I don't know if it was made for that, but that's what they used it for. And I can't remember what they call those tables, but I believe that's what it is, you know.
And that's going to be, I think we're kind of undecided. I mean, we have a few other podcasts coming on for our Halloween series. Yeah. We're starting to shoot in about 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And we have the Skull Crawlers coming on. They're a short filmmaking group, and they also Native American, and they do awesome short films.
They said they wanted to start a podcast too, didn't they?
Right, yeah.
And wanted to talk about the stuff, the same stuff we talk about, but they were kind of afraid to. And they said, like, you know, when they heard us talking about it, like, screw it, we're going to talk about it too, you know?
Well, there's enough room for everybody, really. I mean,
right. Yeah. What else do we got coming on for the Halloween series?
Yeah, they're afraid to talk about that because they're afraid of the backlash, you know?
Right.
Where they might get in trouble or scolded. Yeah. And one of the stories they have where they live was one that we covered, and it's called the Stikini, you know, Stikini or Stikini Vampire.
Right, they're native to that place.
And it's one of the biggest stories there, and they actually have some stories to tell us. So that's kind of how we, you know, kind of came together, wasn't it?
Yeah. And who else we got coming on for this Halloween?
Skull Crawlers, Ascend and Conquer, Tina Marie is coming on. DC O'Rourke is gonna join us also. Well,
I've had DC O'Rourke. He's a cool guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
I love the way these guys like DC O'Rourke. What I love about their paranormal investigation is first and foremost they honor the history. I believe DC O'Rourke, but he's a historian.
Yeah.
Gives ghost tours.
Cool.
I can't remember all of my guests, but. Yeah, he's cool. You like him. You enjoy him on the show.
Yeah, like I listen to his podcast all the time. You know, I like how he picks a place and it just gives you the history behind it,
right?
And like the whole haunted history behind it,
right.
and all of that. It's pretty cool. You know, it's one of my favorite podcasts.
So we have that. We have quite a few podcasts coming on.
Yeah, we have a couple more too that we're talking about.
Halloween night, we're going to premiere the dancing table. We're not sure how we're going to do that. We could shoot in a couple weeks here. We're thinking about maybe doing like a short documentary on that, sitting down with the current owner of the table, and possibly doing our first paranormal investigation on the table.
And seeing if they let us actually cut the cords on this table and see what happens. So
we'll see what happens.
That was my next question. If you got into paranormal investigations.
We've dabbled, we've dabbled in it, we've actually both of us caught, evidence, And one of the ones that I caught was just totally by accident. We were kind of shadowing a paranormal investigation group, and they kind of took us out and showed us how they do their thing. And then one of them was taking pictures, and I stood by her, and I kind of started taking pictures, and we were just kind of talking and everything. And then I caught something on my phone, and it was so strange because. It almost looked like a Scooby-Doo Phantom to me,
The way it was
she took us up to the graveyard, so sometimes I come up here, and so I just kind of snapped a couple pictures, seeing if I can catch something, and just swiping through, maybe 20 pictures. And then in between those pictures, there was something standing in between these graves. Like you can see the grave in front of it. You can see it here, and you can see the grave behind it. The next picture, there was nothing there. It only like that one shot
in a sheet.
It almost looked like a cloak, wearing a cloak or something. And that was after I showed them that picture, when I just started going ham on their cameras trying to take a picture. But that was the only picture we caught that night. And it's actually pretty cool.
It's something we want to get into. It's always interested me. I mean, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I've always been into creepy things and dark stories or dark history. And it's always fascinated me, and I think it'll be something cool for us to go into. We got to first of all buy our equipment and use what we have.
We just started the podcast, doing the whole paranormal thing, ghost stories, stuff like that, and we were already getting invited to places to investigate. I'm like, we didn't even start doing that yet,
People wanted to fly us to Canada and things like that.
Yeah, like U.S. and Canada, a lot of places wanted to go down there and investigate.
And it's funny because we'll do the podcast, and a lot of times we'll catch something on the podcast.
Yeah.
And there was one incident. I think it was summertime, and we had the AC, and we did a green screen at that time. And the AC is behind me, and here's my mic, here's Mark's mic. And we were mid-podcast, and we heard somebody say, I'm over here.
Yeah, I'm over here.
And we both stopped, and we're like, what the heck was that? And it was in the podcast, and Mark's like, okay, timestamp that. We'll just continue. I was like, okay. And so we finished the podcast as usual. And then we immediately go to the computer, plug that audio in there. We're like, look, we got to find that. So we go to we separate our audio tracks. And so I know which one's Mark's, I know which one's mine. For some reason, when it says I'm here, it wasn't in my mic. It was in Mark's mic.
And my mic was the furthest away from the window, and it was close to the living room. And so it sounded like it was coming from the living room. And that just gave me the creeps, man. Like
it's like talking. Like,
we're trying to debunk it. Maybe it's somebody outside, and the microphone right by the window, complete silence, and the microphone toward the living room, and hear somebody talking. So, and it was nobody in the whole building. So it was just me and him.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys spending your time with me, and sorry about the slow beginning, but I look forward to seeing more episodes, and definitely got you in my playlist, and wish you the best of luck. Keep doing what you're doing and keep me updated.
We would like to thank C. Dale and Marcus TTH from the Fallen Hour Radio Podcast on the show tonight. They were awesome. And please check out their links posted at the bottom of this episode. And also, go and rate and review Ghost in the Valley podcast and the Fallen Hour radio podcast on Apple. We would deeply appreciate that. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghosts in the Valley podcast.